Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. Let's go get something here.
So early this week, I asked Rabbi, I showed him some questions about what I was trying to do. And I told him that I was hoping to basically the theme of this about the contract between Elim and Mara. And Rabbi Shulman actually said, interesting. I look forward to hearing that. Which meant that I was committed to talking about it, even though I had nothing to say. So I couldn't drop it then because he said it sounded interesting. So I have no idea if I have anything interesting to say, if I have anything interesting to say or not, but we'll try. But after getting positive feedback, I had to keep working on that. Okay, let's see what I can say. You hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, you're on the phone now. So we're going to look at a pasuk in this week's parsha. One pasuk says, "Vayavo Elima." Israel, after they left Egypt, they went through the Yam Suf. They come to a place called Elim. The Shem Shtemisrei Ayinot Mayim, and there are 12 springs of water. And 70 date palms. They all camp by the water. That's the pasuk. To give a sense of perspective, it's part of the whole travelogue. As they left Egypt, they're on the way to Sinai. And it started last week's parsha, just to go through all the places. They leave Ramses in Egypt. Sukkot, they go to Sukkot. All 600,000. Then in this week's parasha, Vayisumi Sukkot, they leave Sukkot by Yachanu be'etam b'tzeh midbar, and they go to a place called Etam at the edge of the wilderness. So they're heading into the Sinai. And if anyone remembers Lawrence of Arabia, the pretty impenetrable wilderness
from
Lawrence of Arabia. You didn't see Lawrence of Arabia. It's a great movie.
No, I did see it because we had it, and I asked because it's in the song, Lawrence of Arabia, so we had to watch it, but I don't remember it.
It's a long movie. Anyway, but he basically takes his army across the Sinai, going from Egypt to Aqaba in order to attack it, because nobody can do that, because nobody goes through the Midbar there. So Aqaba's guns were all facing toward the sea, because that's the only place you would attack. Coming from the Sinai side was undefended, because nobody in the right mind would actually do that. So Lawrence was not in his right mind, so he did it. But the Bnei are leaving Egypt. They go to Etam at the edge of the wilderness, and then by Hashem Shalom more at this week's parsha. Go to this place called Piachirot, with a Balfon that's at the edge of the Yam Suf, the edge of the Red Sea.
Didn't they have to go back? Like it's back towards
right.
The direction of.
So they go to eight. Right? So Etam is clearly heading at the eastern border of Egypt, the western border of the Sinai. They're heading to the Sinai. So they go back into Egypt basically head south a little bit to be on the border of the Red Sea. And then there's a whole miracle of the sea splits, and they cross the sea through the Red Sea and end up in the Sinai there. And then, after they cross through, by Sab Moshe, Yisrael Miyam Suf, Beitzum Bibar Shur, they go into the wilderness of Shur, which is that area of Sinai, northern Sinai. They go for 3 days, and they don't find any water. And they come to Mara. And they have the miracle there of the bitter water that's made sweet. And there we have Sham Sam Lochok Mishpat Visham Niso. And there Hashem gives them some Lochok Hukim. Then we have our pasuk. They leave Mara. And then by Vayavo Elima, they come to Elim. Visham Stei Mishrei Einot Mayim. There's the 12 springs, the 70 palms, and they camp there. And then they move on. Then by his next pasuk, by Yisuma Elim, right? You have one pasuk about Elim, that's it. Then leave Elim. By Vo Kodat Ben Israel Midbar Sin, they come to wilderness of Sin, which is not quite at Har Sinai. You can tell the difference between Midbar Shur and Midbar Sin. I don't know, but I assume people knew the difference. So the wilderness Asher Ben Elam Ben Sinai. That's between Elam, which is this oasis that has the springs, and then you have Midbar Sin, and then you eventually end up at Har Sinai. And that's on the 15th day of Iyar. 1 month after leaving Egypt, they come to Midbar Sin, and that's where they complain about not having any food, and they have the whole miracle of Aman, and the laws about Aman, and Shabbos, and all that. Then they're in the Midbar Sin for a week, and by Yisuk called up Yisrael Midbar Sin, L'masahim al pi Hashem, and by Achnub Refidim. So they travel from there, they come to Refidim. Next spot, and that's the Ein Mayim L'shtot Ha'am, and they have nothing to drink, and that's when they complain about water, and they have the miracle of splitting the rock, the war with Amalek. And then, next week's parsha, by Yisrael Refidim, they go from Refidim, by Bobi Bar Sinai, and they end up at Sinai. And they camp in the wilderness there, and they get a har, and they camp there at the foot of the Mount Har Sinai. And then we have Mount Har Sinai. So this ends up being the first day of Sivan. The previous journey took 2 weeks from the middle of the year till Sivan. That's what they've done. That's the places they camped along the way. And then I'm left with asking about my pasuk. Why have one pasuk that says by Boalima, Bisham stay mistray in my shouldn't turn? They come to Elim and there are 12 springs and 70 palms. Why do I care? Why mention it? Nothing happens there. They go there, next pasuk they leave. One possibility is that the Torah is just listing all the places they camped. That can't be right. Because as we pointed out, that they spend 3 days traveling between Yam Suf and Mara, and I'm assuming they camp overnight, but they don't have any named places there. There must have been other places that they stopped. I can't imagine they kept walking through the night. But maybe that they didn't name it because the places where they just stopped overnight, you know, quick overnights, do you remember all of our road trips? Where you don't unpack, right? You just have a one bag with you know, pajamas and a toothbrush, you go to the hotel, immediately you rush off. That doesn't count as a fayachanu, as a camping place. But there must be more, because if you look at Parshat Maaseh and the end of Devarim, it lists all the places that they go in order, and there are more stops listed. Okay, this is in Maaseh, right? They bayachum ramsis, bayachanu b'sukot. We said that Ramses in Egypt, they camp and stay assemble in Sukkot, that's when they leave. I assume in Sukkot, by Echnu Be'etam, the same midbar. That's their Etam is at the edge of the wilderness, and they turn back. By Yisum Be'etam, Be'eshel Pichirot, Ashel Pe'bar Tzifon. That's when they come back at the edge of the Red Sea. By Yisum Pichirot, by Rubitoch Yam Habibara, and they go through the Yam and the end of the wilderness. And then by Echnu Derech Shoshi Yamim, so now they have 3 days. And they end up in Mara. I assume in Mara by Boalima, and they leave Mara and they come to Elim, like we said. Elim demonstrate I know my Vishivim to Marim by Achnu Sham. And here we have
it again.
It's important enough. We're going to mention that 12 springs and 70 date palm trees. This must be a thing. What thing is it? And then right, I assume Elim. All we had. Is they go leave Elim, they end up in Midbar Sin, which is where they complain about the food and get the man. But here we have a list of other places that they camp along the way. They end up somewhere on the border of Yam Suf on the other on the eastern side. I get my geography on the eastern side. They end up in Midbar Sin. They assume Midbar Sin by Yachnu B'Dafka, which we haven't seen before. Another place they camp. They assume Dafka by Yachnu B'Alush, another place we haven't seen. And then by Suma Eluf by Hub Refidim, and by Refidim, Boyashamayim, that's where they had the miracle of the water. And then left Refidim by Chnub Sinai, and they end up in Har Sinai. So our Parsha mentioned Elim. That must be important. It's got a thing with springs and palms. And we have all these other places where clearly they stopped. They mentioned Maasai, but are not important enough to mention our Parsha. What happened to Elim? I don't know. That's where I was stuck, but I had to say something because Rabbi Shulman said it sounded interesting, so I have to keep going. The one possibility, if we're learning with Rabbi Foreman, is that it's a literary thing. We need these six stops in our parsha in order to create a chiasmus.
Like a chi? It's
going from the X formation, where we're kind of starting from one point, going one direction, then coming back. If you look at the whole between Priam and Sinai, these stops along the way really do form kind of key, which is a different Greek letter than Xi, okay? Which is what we're not going to name the virus, because that's spelled like the Chinese premier's name. He is C-H-I in English. So the X shape. We start with Parshat. Back in Parshat Bo, we had Yetziat Mitzrayim. That's the Gilui Shechina. We're going to end with Yitro, with Gilui Shechina of Mount Torah, Mount Har Sinai. Then we go with the war against Egypt at Yam Suf. Hashem Yilachem Lachem, Atem Tach Rishon. You stay here, God will fight for you. And we're going to end, going back, with Milchem Amalek, the end of this Parsha. So war and war. And then after the war, Yam Suf, we have the miracle of the water at Marah. Water, and then before Amalek, we have the miracle of water with splitting the rock, Rifidim. And then after the water at Marah, we have food. We have the 70 palm trees, they get dates, it's wonderful. And corresponding to that, immediately after, we have the miracle of the man. We have this kind of chiasm of the sort of themes of each of these stops that are actually listed. And arguably a scene that talked about that this basically emphasizes that what happens is that we're going from a point where B'nai Israel are alone in their houses, but they don't see the miracles of Makot or Mach B'chorah, because they're inside their homes. We're going from the miracles that are all God, Yam Suf, they're not part of the war. They're supposed to stand there and watch the Egyptians be defeated. At Marah, they come to the water and it becomes sweet. And as we're moving, the people have to actively participate. By the man, they have to go out and get the food. By the water, it's striking. The water isn't in Rephidim. The rock that Moshe splits is at Har Chorev, it's back at Har Sinai. So the people have to actually go to the water. Similarly, Mechem and Amalek, they have to actually fight. And Amman Torah, they have to say Naseh v'Nishma. They have to bring Hashem into this. So we've got this chiasma says kind of the God's participation is going down, people's participation is going up is the X we're looking at there. So it's a literary thing. Maybe that's why we need this extra marim in here just to make it all fit. That's a nice idea. It warrants a sphere of its own.
Wait, is that you came up with that?
No.
This is Rabbi Foreman?
I'm not sure if it's a Rabbi Foreman thing or if it's a Rabbi Liebtag thing. Both of them are very into the chiasmus. Is Milchama spelled right? It's possible I don't spell Milchama right. It should be with a chet.
It's a chet, I think, right?
Okay, thank you. That's what I have to get. That's what you're doing is editing me here. Thank you very much. I'll get it correct by the time I get.
For your guinea pigs.
That's right. That's why I do this. Right. It's spelled the same way as Lacha.
Right.
Thank you. Okay. That's one possible way of looking at this, these date palms. It's the food to kind of set up the chiasm, which is okay. You could look at it midrashically.
I just can't imagine like surviving only on dates. I feel like it would just hurt your stomach.
Okay, we'll make the point that you're not surviving on dates. We'll point out that they've still got food left over. They don't run out of food until the 15th of Iyar when they complain they get the month.
What were they eating? Their matzo? Their animals?
Yes. That's exactly what Sforno puts it. That they've got they have food at this point. The dates are just dessert.
Like a fresh, like having fresh fruit when you're on a boat in the middle of the ocean.
As a special treat, more than a nutritious
food. Okay, that makes more sense.
Okay. Google.
And then by the month, they actually ran out of food and they actually needed to eat?
Right.
Okay.
That won't be till the next stop. the other possible way of looking at it is that this is a god. This is symbolic, right? We have springs of water, and in Mayim El Torah, we have the date palms, the tzadik hatamar yifrach, and that clearly means something. Well, if I could put those together, you've got 12 and 70. Those are important numbers. We'll have to mention them later. And I think that would be a good shear to make. But that's not what I did. So I leave that as an extra reader to write that.
Isn't the expression Ein Kemach, Ein Torah?
Well, Ein Kemach, Ein Torah is the word expression in Pirkei Avot, that you need both. But Ein Mayim El Torah is...
Oh, Ein Mayim El Torah.
That when you see water, when Yeshaya said that everyone should come drink water without paying for it, he's not talking about water. Mayim is a metaphor for water.
Yeah.
So you could read it this way as well. But we're not going to. We're going to look at this pasuk here, and we're going to look at what's missing. Okay? Because we all know our Sherlock Holmes. Right? Curious incident of the dog in the nighttime. And the dog did nothing in the nighttime. That was a curious incident. Without too many spoilers, because if you're interested in Holmes, you've already read this already. Basically, that's the clue as to that the fact that the dog didn't bark was a clue that the bad guy who's committing the crimes clearly was known to the dog.
Oh, this is there was a book very popular about 10 years ago, The Curious Incident of the Dog.
I didn't know it had.
This is where he took it from. I
noticed something that nobody else commented on.
Yeah.
And solved a mystery that way.
You miss so much
if you're
not literate. You miss all these illusions.
Right. So the title came from.
Yeah.
The curious incident of the dog in the
night. Did nothing. From the Sherlock Holmes. That was the curious incident.
Right. So that it's hard to see things that aren't there. So what isn't there in this story of Elim? That's there in every other story that happens from Yetziat Mitzrayim on. The answer is.
And complain.
Nobody complains. Nobody. Right. Nobody fights. They just come there. There's water to drink. And that was my point, that it was dessert. Right? They have treats there. They had matzah at that time. And I'm quoting the Rashi on that very question that Davida just asked. Next up, on the 15th day of Iyar, they started to complain about food. Avishar Sayom the Iyar, which is after this. Nipareish Hayom Shulchani Chaniyazu, that the Torah tells us when they come to Amidbar Sin. Because that's when they ran out of all the dough that they had brought out of Egypt. That's when they ran out of all their provisions. They had enough for months. And they needed, that's the point where they needed the man. To tell us that they had enough bread, enough of the dough that they brought out for 61 meals. Right? For 1 month worth of meals, basically.
Like sourdough matzah? It can't be sourdough.
I assume that they didn't take it out as dough, right? They took out flour and added their water to it. It doesn't make sense to carry dough.
Right.
But the man came down on the 16th of Iyar, the day after the 15th. So at the point they get to Elim, they have food, and now they've got all these sweet dates there. They've got sweet waters, and that's what Ibn Ezra says. That's what's telling me here. The Fidati. Yisrael lo yashu b'marah rak yom achad. Okay, the way I'm looking at it, they're in Marah, where the water is not drinkable. Hashem makes a miracle. They throw the eighths into the water. Now it's drinkable. And then they leave the next day. And they must have been Elim for a while. Because that's an oasis that's got plenty of drinkable water. So they leave Egypt on the 15th of Nisan. A week later is the miracle of Yam Suf. So that's the 22nd. 3 days later is Marah. 25th of Nisan. A day later, they leave Mara, 26th of Nisan. And then the next time they travel is on the 15th when they come to Midbar Sin. So it must have been, that's 19 days or so that they've been an alien. That's a good place to stay. Sforno makes the point that the fact that they left was the fact they were willing to follow Hashem, even though they were a great place to stop and they lived. But Al-Kain Amrokatu, V'echnu Shalamayim, that means they camped there on the water, that they set their camp up. It wasn't just an overnight. Al-Kain Amar Babasuk Haba, Acharav, Kibachamisha, Sayyam, Lachosh, Hedniz, Asum, Me'ilim, because they, on the 15th, they traveled from Me'ilim to tell us how long they stayed in Me'ilim. Yiskir Tamarim, and they mentioned those 70 day Pavloziakim, Mayim, Tukim. If the water was inherently drinkable, Hetzach Meimara, unlike Meimara, Kiyat Mimli Yatsichu Be'eretz She'meimeha Marim, because you would never have the date palms growing there if it wasn't potable, wasn't good water there, wasn't drinkable water. And give us a hint that that was a wonderful place to stay. There's water, there's food, good. The Rambam wonders why the Elim and the springs and why mention it at all? Why talk about the springs and palms? This is Ramban. There's some famous reading. Not my name, Shavim Tamarim. There's 12 springs and 70 day pumps. And in Devar Gadol, we must say Makom Shavim Tamarim. It says, wait a minute, 70 is not that many palm trees. Yibashepel, Makomot, because in the valleys, Yimsu Elif Tamarim, Yoter Mehem, you can have thousands of day palms and decent sized orchards, right? You got millions of people, 70 day palms is not going to feed anybody. But there are other answers of what, maybe 70 kinds, 70 per person, lots more. There's no reason to say this. So what is it telling us? Mechilta on this, which is a Midrash Halakha, gives what I would call Pshat Agadah. Not a Midrash Agadah, but a sort of a literary reading. Instead of telling the story, what is it trying to tell us by telling us these things?
What did Ibn Ezra, what was his solution? He just wondered about it? Didn't offer.
So the Ibn Ezra is simply saying, well, that the 70 Tamarim wasn't that it was enough to feed all the people, it was just to point out that it was good water. That it was drinkable water. So that the palm trees were growing there.
Okay.
Okay. This is a mechilta, and it says by Bo Lima Hashem Stamus Rei Mayim Magida Katuv. Pasuk telling you Shalta Makom Muhulal Ba Mayim. Literally means it was praised with water, but if you look at the mechilta Rabbi Yosha Hashem by Yochai, a different version, it says Mukulal Ba Water. Wasn't very good water, probably more accurate in context here. So Mikola Makamot, it was not, the water wasn't that good. Tedashikan, you know that. Shere Hayu Shnei Mesrei Muva'in, that there were 12 springs, that's the Aramaic word. Losafiku Elo Shivan Dekalim. So the opposite of Ramban. Ramban says a real orchard would have had hundreds and thousands of trees. This only had 70. It could have been that good an oasis. David Shabo Yisrael, the Sharo Allah, when Bnei Yisrael came, the Sharo Allah, Shishim Ribo Bnei Adam, and then they 600,000 people were camping there, the Safkuba Ahem, and there's a miracle, and the water, it must have been enough, even though it was a pretty mediocre oasis as you judge your oasis. This was a 2-star hotel at best. But at this point, it was enough for Lanu. And they were there, Bishan of Ishilashu, and they stayed many days there. And there was enough water there, even though you wouldn't have thought that. That in fact, there's an unstated miracle there, the fact that they came to a place with water and there was enough water. It's what we call a Nes Nistar.
And enough
Not bait. The open miracle where...
Right.
Sorry?
Also a miracle... That they had enough dates from just 70 trees.
Right. Same idea.
Then how come the Torah doesn't say that? Like, usually if there's something, it was like, oh, you know, the water was bitter and now it became sweet. Wow. Or like, oh, there wasn't enough,
that's
but it was
exactly
looking for everybody.
My point is the fact that the Torah only tells us when Bnei Yisrael do something wrong. And there's a miracle, right? They complain, and Hashem says, fine, we'll do a miracle for you. Fact is that they're nisim happening all the time. If they don't complain, it just works. Torah doesn't emphasize that. That kind of ends up with this idea that Torah never tells us all the good things that they do. You read Tanakh, and all you hear about is how terrible the Israel are. Over and over and over.
Well,
again.
A lot of it in the Torah Shabbal Peh, it talks about like all the behind the scenes, like Rashi, right, where it says like when they were traveling and they went back, right, Vayasu Kei, and Rashi says like Yichivchad Shal Yisrael, like there is a lot of woven in, but it's not in the Pshat.
Right, and that's kind of the point that. That positive reinforcement is a modern concept. Rule of Nevi'im to offer Tochacha, basically. And that so that we have this, you know, you look at it in Shoftim, right? There's a miracle when they're saved from enemies. When they're not saved from enemies, they're not doing anything wrong. They live peacefully. You have one line about Batishko the Arba'im Shana. That's it. Here, they don't complain. They come to a place, and there's water and there's food done. There's no big miracle there. Right? They have, but really, it's 40 years. You only have a couple of incidents in there. But this is one we hear about. The days that Hashem says, here's water. They need water the whole 40 years. They're in the wilderness there. They have water the whole time. We don't get any of that. Because Torah's not going to mention that. For instance, when Moshe is summarizing their 40 years in Devarim, what he says, Vayelcha vayevecha Hashem, it's literally tortured you, made you miserable, made you hungry, and gave you man to eat, that you had never seen, your answer never seen, it's a miracle. Teach you that it's not by bread alone man lives, because we live by God's word. Your clothes never wore out, and your feet never got swollen, for all 40 years. Rashi points out, that's a throwaway line that points out a miracle we don't even think about. Let's call it Valta. Talk about the Torah Shabbat Pes side of it. Anei Kavod haya shafim b'chutam, that the Anei Kavod would clean their clothes maghatim otam and would bleach them min kelim magatim, and their clothes would stay clean and fresh and new. They never had to worry about buying new clothing. That was amazing. And their clothes would grow with them. They never had to go shopping, but you don't see any mention of that. They didn't complain about it. It just was. Similarly, their sweet didn't swell up. But take a low nafcha kibatzek. It didn't become swollen like dough. Kedera cholchayacha. Like people who are walking barefoot, should I lay him those foot, their feet get all swollen. Right, if you're walking for 40 years, you'd figure you have bad knees. Those of us, even if we don't walk for 40 years straight, still get bad knees. But those kind of miracles don't get mentioned in the text. They're implied. The only ones that we hear about are the ones that are a response to complaints. That's when Hashem says, fine, here's an open miracle. The fact that we wake up in the morning, we still open our eyes, that's a nes. It's supposed to say moda ani, but it's not a nes nis. You know, it's this idea of a nes nistar. Shem just supports us. That's good. And that's the way it's supposed to work. And this is the way the Meshach Chachma talks about why we're not supposed to say halal every day. Because we're not supposed to think God's only in the great miracles. And yeah, hagat hanisit ki ena tachlitit. That the point of existence is not miracles. Hashem bara olam, God created the world. It's supposed to work naturally. Dehi bat Elokim. That Teva is literally the daughter of God. Ramban. We call Techil Shemizataya Kol Yop Open Bracha Nifret Nifritza Oshmer Ba'ai Ad Blidai. And the whole purpose is that we can get plenty of brachot and wealth and happiness without it being an open miracle, right? The water can just last without there being a miracle of splitting the rock or turning the bitter water of it, throwing a tree into it. We just have enough. But we, our job is to recognize that that is Hashem's will. Hashkacha pratit. I'll call prat on every detail. About teva he rak nisim rutufim. Nature simply is a series of miracles, one after the other. Both recognize that. If we need an open miracle, that represents a failure on our part. Now derech nes built to sudra TV in rapela. So a supernatural miracle is not the real wonder. Come on, man. Because it was like the miracle of Man represented a failure of Bnei Israel. They're complaining. They shouldn't have complained. They would have simply had enough food and they said, oh, I guess there's enough food here waiting for us. Oh, isn't that nice? What an amazing coincidence. And they should recognize that's still ahead of Hashem. But in Nifla, Bateva, who has enough to eat, the fact that we have enough to eat just on an everyday basis. Our response to adversity is supposed to be a combination of bitachon and hishtadlut. Do what we can. We have bitachon that Hashem will support us. It's not enough. We're not supposed to be complaining and griping all the time. And the point of Elim is to show that people had enough faith in Hashem to not complain, then things worked out. And that would have been a much shorter Sefer Shemot, but a much better one. And we'll conclude the idea that this griping, the complaining, is a state of mind. They're not just complaining about Hashem. They're also complaining about their leaders, right? Complaining about their friends. We're complaining about everybody. We're complaining about our children. They don't meet our standards. Nothing right. Nothing's right. You can either be in a state of mind where you complain or not complain. That had to stop in order for the people coming out of Mitzrayim to become a nation. And I think that's what the text is alluding to with the symbolism, the numerical symbolism. It's Enot Mayim, the 12 springs, as Rashi says, 12 tribes. The 70 Tamarim, the 70 Tamarim, the Canaan, or I think more, not so much the Canaan, the leaders, but the Canaan being the original Batei Avot, the 70 that came down to Egypt that became the family that came out, right? So we have these, everyone knows their place and everyone is part of a united nation all together. That we get along with our families and with our tribes and all that. And that's what the, I am quoted here, it's the Malbim. I need to put a course here. Write that down. This is the Malbim. Mevoe Lima. He notices that of all the places they camped, Yudah says, Vayisu, may this place, Vayachanu, but that place. They left one, they camped the next one. This always says, Vayibo, they came. Vayisu, may Mara. By Avo Elima, they came to Elim, not by Achanu be Elim. Avo Elima. That's because Elima ya karov the Mara. Because Elim was really actually quite close to Mara. It's where they would have gotten the water if they hadn't stopped to complain about stuff, right?
We're like, oh, and then, a little bit if you could just.
Oh. Right? Yes. That, again, we didn't need the miracle of Mara. You could have come to Elim the whole time. They shouldn't have stopped there. They stopped too early. Hashem says, stop here. Because they came to it, and they didn't say they camped to it. Hashem said, okay, you can camp here. And the Maaseh also used the term by Abo, uniquely to aliens. Hilo Bashom al Manat Lachanot. They didn't go there with the intention of camping there. Rak Shasham Matsu Yidbet Ayanot Mayan Bashim Jarmim. There they found the oasis with all the water. Lachen Chanu Bashfil Mayan. So they camped there because of the water. There was a remez ki achar shesham lo b'marah chok mishpat. And it's a hint there that after they got the chok mishpat, the laws they got in Marah, the son had melim shivim zekenim v'spari ayin tamarim. And there they had they became a nation with an organization with the 70 elders, symbolized by the 70 tamarim, the yidbet nesiyah shvatim, and 12 nesiyim for their shvatim, mispar hayanot sham, like the number of springs. And that's why afterwards it says, all of a sudden, when they leave Elim, now they're an Eda. The first time that they're called an Eda. Now they're united. And we're a little Kabbalistic here. The Shorish Nishma Yisrael, that Bnei Yisrael start with one of Yaakov, they're split to 12, Bakakov, Vashiv, Nesesh, and then 70, the Vishan, his Afu, the Shishim, Yivo, they're branched down to the 600,000, Shem, Chanu, Ameach, Chachmo, that's when the point they could camp by the Mayim in Mayim El Torah, but the 12, 70, 600,000 is the symbolism of Bnei Israel as a whole. It's only when they stop complaining that they get the Torah. But the next time they end up as a people is by Chan Sham Yisrael, you know the pasuk, right? That here it's in the singular, Ish Echad B'Lev Echad at Har Sinai. Aval Shar Kol Chaniot, all the other Chaniot were Batarumet, they were complaining, Machloket, they were arguing, not just arguing with God, but arguing with each other. That didn't count. They could not get the Torah unless they became united people. And that's the kind of hint, the fact that it's possible. We had one place when we did them, that was in Elim. So we can get along and not complain. And I end with a line here that there must be a lesson in there somewhere in there for us today. I have no idea what you could learn from that, from not complaining, but maybe we could learn not to complain about stuff so much. And just enjoy our dates and our sweet water and not need a miracle from God to get us together. The worst thing.
Nice.
Definitely.